Hello, class. This is Reverend Calhoun again. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor. If you remember last week, we talked a lot about a loyal assistant and how loyalty is very important in operating in honor. We're going to kind of continue along that same vein with loyalty, but we're going to look at it from a different perspective. And that perspective is disloyalty can lead to dishonor. So we talked about what a loyal assistant or a loyal steward, you know, or a loyal person in ministry of helps. But we're going to be talking more now, moving towards the disloyalty and how if a person begins to experience or walk in dishonor, disloyalty, it will eventually lead to them dishonoring themselves. We're going to start off with a word of prayer and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. And we just thanking you, Lord God, hallelujah, for what you're doing in our lives. We thank you for ever increasing Word Training Center. Thank you for Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., who is the founder and president of this great school of ministry, Lord God. Thank you for the First Family, Lord God. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord God, as you establish apostolic government and that you're bringing us back right now, Lord God, to your original plan, Lord God, where the fivefold ministry gifts are doing their job, Lord God, building up the body of Christ so that we can all walk in the manifestations that you desire for us to walk in. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. As I stated, this class session is going to be talking, leaning towards disloyalty and how disloyalty will lead to dishonor. There is a blatant dishonor that is completely obvious, but there is a subtle dishonor which is not easily recognizable. I'll give you an example. When Saul dishonored, it was blatant, okay? But other forms of dishonor starts in the form of someone being first disloyal. In a person's behavior. If this disloyalty continues to progress unchecked or unturned, it will lead to disloyalty. A good example was Judas. Judas, who was one of the 12, and he followed Jesus. He went everywhere with Jesus. Judas, as you know, was the treasurer. Judas' disloyalty was more subtle in his betrayal of Jesus. In either case, disloyalty needs to be detected and corrected, and if possible, before it can lead to total dishonor. Amen? All right, like I said, a lot of times they're subtle, not so easily, it's not so easily seen. And we're going to look at some examples of that as we go on in our lesson. First, let's look at what loyalty is. Loyalty is an allegiance of honor and an allegiance of honorable men. One of the core elements of a strong alliance will be the loyalty of the leaders among the members and the members among the leader. Amen. In God's apostolic government. Okay. Give me your definition of loyalty. The state or quality of being loyal. Faithful, one who is full of faithfulness and commitment to a cause, steadfast, sticking to one's assignment or commitment or obligation. Faithfully committed to a vision or an agenda. When you are loyal to a ministry or a man of God, you're faithful to the vision in that ministry, and you're faithful to the agenda that man of God has got from God. You walk faithfully in that. Faithful adherence to a sovereign government, which is God's government, or an apostolic government, a leader, a cause, etc. A commitment to help establish God's kingdom or God's government. When you're loyal, you have a commitment. And it's so very important that we be committed and loyal in our commitments. And loyalty goes a long way because it helps you to be steadfast. and committed to the assignment. Loyalty, if displayed, loyalty is displayed in one's consecration, a solemn commitment of your life and your time to some cherished purpose, to a service, to a goal, a vision, you know, like I said, or an agenda, one's commitment and consecration to one's leader, your pastor, your apostle, you know, whoever you're serving under, is your commitment under their leadership to be loyal. And it also helps in fulfilling the plan and the purpose of God in your life. That loyalty will help you to fulfill. And that's what you want to do. You want to fulfill the plan, the purpose of God in your life. And loyalty will help you move in that direction of fulfilling that plan, that purpose. Amen. Having or showing complete and constant support for someone or something is loyalty to that person and their vision or their mission or their agenda. Amen. Faithful in allegiance to one's God who is sovereign, or God's government, as I stated earlier. Faithful to a cause, an idea, a custom, an institution, or a product. Faithful to an assignment. And loyalty doesn't just apply in the area of ministry. You know, you can be loyal to your employer, loyal to your job. Though I'm retired now, I was loyal and faithful to the company that I work for right at 37 years. So, you know, been married for 42, almost 43 years in the next couple of weeks, faithful and loyal to my wife for those 42, almost 43 years. So loyalty in every aspect of life is so very important. It's so very important. And loyalty will lead and bring you into honor. And that's something that you know, this class is about, is how to walk in the spirit of honor. Amen. So we're looking at aspects of loyalty, but we're going to get into in a few minutes how disloyalty can also change and hinder that process. One who has proven himself worthy of trust or to be trusted with responsibility. That's a loyal person. One who has proven themselves worthy of trust are to be trusted with responsibility. Loyalty is the principal qualification for every minister who commits themselves to serve. I'm going to read that again. Loyalty is the principal qualification to every minister who commits themselves to serve. Loyalty will open the door for you to walk in honor and to be honored. Just like it says in scriptures, before honor is humility, and loyalty is a part and works in with humility, being humble, you know, also being loyal. In an allegiance, there is loyalty to a commitment or to a subordinate or to a superior or of an individual to a group, cause, or vision. Okay, now listen up. An inexperienced or untrained person is likely to think that the more gifted you are, the more qualified you are for ministry. That is not so. It's not necessarily how gifted you are or how qualified you may be from a natural perspective, but are you going to be loyal and committed to the assignment? Experience has shown us that faithfulness and loyal people in a church or organization who are the most qualified to be leaders. Let me read that again. Experience has shown us that faithfulness are faithful and loyal people in a church or organization who are more qualified to be leaders. Not always the most gifted. Those who stay committed to the end, to their assignment and the agenda of God. Some immature and untrained Christians may think that the more anointed and gifted a person is will make them, you know, good leaders, good pastors. They also think that someone with good oratory skills, who can speak and very fluent in their delivery, make the best preachers or leaders. You know, don't make that mistake and don't think that, because that's not always necessarily the truth. You know, the Bible teaches us that the cardinal requirements, one of uttermost importance for leadership, must be first, before anything else, that you be faithful. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to read that from the King James Version. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. We're going to look at that from the Amplified Bible now. The Amplified Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, so then let us apostles be looked upon as ministers, ministering servants of Christ, and stewards, or trustees, of the mysteries of the secret purposes of God. And then he says in verse 2, moreover, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust and loyalty. Amen. A person that's operating in disloyalty is in the beginning stages of walking in the spirit of dishonor. And if not turned back and put on track to a position of loyalty, will dishonor themselves, and they will not qualify to be called faithful stewards of Christ. So a person operating in disloyalty, and one of the things we're going to see in a minute is that disloyalty doesn't just happen overnight. It's a process, and a lot of times it's a slow process because of discontentment, because of things may not go your way, and you begin to you begin to change an attitude about the ministry or the people you're serving under, and if not checked, you know, it'll lead to disloyal thoughts, which can lead to disloyal actions, which can lead to dishonor. Amen. A disloyal person breeds strife. Listen to this. A disloyal person breeds strife, hatred, and murmuring. In other words, they're always talking about things that they don't think is going the way they think they should go. This disloyalty sentiment is like smoke that fills the entire house. The only way to get rid of the smoke is to get rid of the fire. Amen. You know, when you think about a house that's burning, the fire may only be in one part of the house, the back room maybe. But because the fire is there, the smoke rises. And that smoke, I've been in smoke houses in training when I was working in industry. That smoke will fill the entire house, you know. So in order to get rid of the smoke, you got to get rid of the fire, the person that's causing the disruption. Amen. Important to remember this. People in leadership roles whose heart are not in the work of the ministry needs to be encouraged to step down or sat down, you know, if their hearts cannot be turned, you know, back to loyalty, because they will cripple the ministry if their hearts are not with the vision. They will negatively influence other members. One of the things that has helped me walk in honor is seeing the consequences of those who walked in dishonor. You know, I guess my background, I evaluate things and I look at the big picture. And when I see somebody kind of drifting off track, I make a mental note and I see where they let small things. The Bible says, and I got it already in here, I'm getting my head of myself, but it's the little foxes, the small things, the small irritations. You know, suppose you have an itch, you know, somewhere in your body and you start scratching it and it gets worse and the rash spreads. If you would have treated it before you start scratching it, you probably would have cured the rash and not let it spread. But as you scratch it, and you're putting poison or dirt from your fingernails on it, and it's just going to cause it to spread. You know, so it's the little foxes, the little irritations, the little sentiment, the little disgruntledness, those things in a person's life and behavior that, you know, will lead to disloyalty. And if not corrected, if not turned back, it will eventually lead to dishonor. Jesus said, Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Matthew 12 and 30. So if you're not with the vision, if you're not with what Christ is standing for, you're actually against it, you know, and you don't want to become a burden, a yoke and a burden, because the anointing of God will remove and destroy burdens and yokes. So you want to stay committed. And that's why it's so important to always to judge yourself, to check your heart, and to make sure that your heart is pure. And what you're doing out of a sincere, loyal devotion to your man of God, to your pastor. And that brings honor. But when there's dishonor, when there's disloyalty, it will always lead to dishonor. Judas walked in disloyalty, which means he was not totally loyal to Jesus, meaning he was against Jesus in the area of stealing from the ministry, amen, which led to his act of dishonor by turning in Jesus. In other words, Judas had his own agenda, you know, and it didn't even surface till the end. You know, it didn't even surface till the end. And it got to Judas so much until he hung himself, because he basically betrayed Jesus, you know. But all through, you know, Jesus 3.5 years walking the earth, you know, Judas was there handling the money. But the thing about it was, there was so much money coming in, the little bit that he was taking, it didn't really seem, you know, noticeable until it was brought out in the end, you know. We have to pray, and we have a prayer that we pray here at Word of Life Christian Center. We haven't done it recently, but I remember in the early stages: expose, reveal, remove, and replace. Anybody that's disloyal and dishonest, and who's not with the vision. Amen. That's so important. Because I said, you know, it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Remember, disloyalty, if not checked or corrected, will lead to dishonor. You see, the core strength of any great organization depends on its members walking in loyalty. The core strength of any great organization depends on its members walking in loyalty, you know? And that loyalty, like I said, will bring you into honor, okay? This is why a leader should only surround himself with faithful and loyal servants, because a disloyal person will affect the strength of the organization. And I've seen that, you know, and it's only for a short time. Once that person is recognized and dealt with, and a lot of times once they are either sat down, corrected, most cases they leave. They can't stay because of their disloyalty, you know. And that's why there's a scripture, and I quote it often, I meditate it often. It says, never let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, one song says, get it straight before the sun goes down. So if there's something in my heart that needs to be corrected, I don't want to wake up the next morning with that thing on my mind. I'll say, Lord, forgive me. I repent for my thoughts, my actions, or whatever, because I, you know, whatever sins you retain will be retained unto you. Whatever sins you remit will be remitted. I remember a friend of mine years ago when I was in college asked me a little bit about that scripture, and I wasn't quite sure. And I gave him some answer, but then the Lord opened it up to me. Even if you weren't wrong, somebody might have wronged you. But if you don't release them and let them go, and keep that, harbor that resentment, that sin that they committed, that wrong they might have done you, is going to eat you like a cancer, because you retained it. You didn't release it and you didn't let it go. You let the sun go down on your wrath and you woke up. And each time you think about it, the enemy has a way of magnifying it and even making it bigger. So you never want the sun to go down on your wrath. You want to get it straight before the sun goes down and release it and let it go. Because if you retain it, it's going to be retained. But when you remit it and just give it over to Jesus and move on, well, then, hey, life is so much sweeter. Your heart stays pure. And that's what you want. Amen. All right, LTMA churches and pastors are pastored by ministers who should be loyal to the Lord, loyal to Apostle, and that's Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr., and loyal to the vision of LTMA. You know, if you're an LTMA pastor, you know, you're going to be loyal to the Lord, loyal to your apostle, and loyal to the organization of LTMA. And one of the things I want to say about LTMA is that it's the most solid organization I've ever had the privilege to be a part of. And I thank God that I am a part of it. Amen. All right, let's move on. Without loyalty, now this is something you're going to need to know. Without loyalty being at the core of every network or organization of churches, there will constantly be competition, competitive jealousy, dissension, and finally this disintegration. Read it again. Without loyalty being at the core of every network or organization of churches, there will constantly be competition, competitive jealousy, dissension, and finally disintegration, because it'll destroy organization when you have disloyal members. And so that's why it's so very important to be loyal, because it, like I said, it leads to dishonor. And what we're trying to do is establish honor. And one of the ways that I know best from teaching this class to show what honor is showing what honor is not. And when you see what is not, well, then you just reverse it and do the reciprocal of that. And it'll bring honor. We're going to look at some stages of dishonor some stages of disloyalty that leads to dishonor. Disloyalty doesn't happen overnight. Becoming a disloyal person is a process, and I said that. And a lot of times a person don't even know that they're walking in disloyalty because it's so subtle. The enemy will drop, you know, suggestions and fiery darts into your mind. And if you entertain them, it'll lead to disloyalty. As I stated earlier, it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. That's Solomon's 2:15. The little things, the things that you don't think are important, you know, those things, because you neglect them, you put them aside. But you know, just like a seed, once that little seed is planted, that seed will grow. And if it's a seed of disloyalty, it'll grow, and it'll destroy the whole person. Most people are unaware of the fact that they are becoming disloyal. Some leaders do not even notice disloyalty in their associates. That is why the spirit of discernment is so important. So that, you know, you pray for discernment, because the Lord will always reveal to you a person's heart. When you ask, Lord, I thank you that, you know, you give me discernment, those who are close to me, my close circle, so that, you know, I could see in advance disloyalty, or the seed of disloyalty that may be in them, you know, trying to harbor in them. We are going to outline the stages of a person or group of people that goes through when they are gradually changing into a rebel. There are two reasons why you must know the stages of disloyalty. First of all, it will help you to identify and kill any such tendencies within yourself if disloyalty tries to creep in you. And secondly, it will help you to detect disloyalty in any person in the ministry that works alongside of you. Remember, disloyalty, if not corrected and turned back into loyalty, will lead to dishonor. Again, I want to state this because, like I said, I'm a repeater. It is the little foxes that spoil the vine. Amen. All right, the first stage we're going to talk about is going to be the independent stage. The independent stage is so subtle that most people do not recognize it for what it actually is, disloyalty. When a person becomes belonging to a group, a ministry or a company develops an independent attitude, they sort of become autonomous within the group. Let me read that again. When a person becomes belonging to a group, a ministry or company develops an independent attitude, they sort of become autonomous within the group. And you say, okay, what you mean by autonomous? People who speak on grounds of autonomy are independently of the group or the organization that they're affiliated with. They're speaking on their own behalf, okay? The definition of autonomous, responding, reacting, or developing independently of the whole, existing or acting separately from other things or people, having the power or right to govern oneself, do not really want to answer to anybody. Or you're actually having what you call self-government. And even though you're part of the group, you don't speak on behalf of the group. You speak on your own terms of autonomy. The rules of the organization no longer controls them or him or her. Such a person is still part of the church, but does what they want to do, in spite of the church government's governing instructions. When someone speaks on grounds of autonomy, they're speaking for themselves independently of the group or organization that they are affiliated with. For instance, the pastor may say, we're going to be fasting on Friday, but the person with the independent spirit will think or say, I've already decided to fast on Wednesdays, so that's what I'll do. In other words, I'm going to do my own thing. You know, not doing the activity is not dishonor within itself, but it's a telltale sign towards dishonor. Everyone, another example is, you know, your pastor may say, everybody read a certain chapter in the book of Matthews, you know, but that person who has that independent spirit will decide to read the book of Luke instead because they claim, well, I've already read the book of Matthews. And it's so important that as a church, as leaders, we always be on one accord, because there's always a greater purpose and a greater defining purpose when we're asked to do something. Give you some examples that happened in my own personal life. Several years ago, my daughter had just gotten a job in Houston area working for NASA, just graduated from a prestigious, you know, engineering college in Atlanta. And my wife and I and my son, we, you know, got her some furniture. We got her apartment rented 2 or 3 miles from the facility. And we were in the process of moving her. I never forget it, because her apartment was on the third floor. Me and my son was carrying couches and beds and mattresses and what have you all the way up to the third floor. But when we had just finished and we were, you know, getting ready to go get something to eat and kind of relax, and we were going to finish up and just kind of dress the room up the next day, we get a call from the secretary of the church. And she says, I know you guys are out of town. And that's another thing. A loyal person will always try to let somebody in leadership know when they're not going to be in service, so it won't look like they just didn't show up for no reason. But the secretary called and she said, Apostle called a special meeting tomorrow. I just want to let you know. I know you're out of town, but, you know, basically giving us the option to do what we want to do. I looked at my wife and we thought about it for maybe 2 seconds. We said, we're going to shut it down. We have time to get back to the house by night so we can rest up and be at church for the meeting the next day. So we, you know, even though we still had other things to do, my daughter had a week before she started work, so we still had time. We shut our operation down, got in the car, drove back to Baton Rouge from Houston to be in the meeting the next day. Not long ago, I said a couple of weeks ago, We were in Houston again, visiting my daughter, my three grandkids, and my son-in-law. And we actually watched the service online. And towards the end of the service, Apostle made the statement, says, I'm going to be starting a series this afternoon, Sunday at 6 p.m. I want, you know, all the members to be there. I looked at my wife, she looked at me, and we determined that if we left Houston by 12, we can be home before 6. We drove, you know, got back home, actually not Baton Rouge, but back to Gonzales, where we stay now. And when we got back to Gonzales, we only had about 15, 20 minutes to change and freshen up and make the meeting. But these are examples of loyalty. You know, you do whatever it takes to get the job done, to fulfill the assignment. You know, now there's times where you might not be able to. You know, I remember one time we were coming back from Richmond, Virginia from a meeting. And Apostle, he flew in after the Thursday and Friday session. So we stayed over that Saturday and did some sightseeing, and we were driving back on Sunday. But we were listening to the message on our phones driving back. And Apostle looked over where my wife and I were seating, and he just made a mention, said, where's Calhoun at? You know, I said, ugh. And so I immediately text, you know, my upline, you know, who was either Reverend Montrell or Reverend Leroy Jr., and let them know that we were driving back from Richmond, but we are listening to the message online. So, you know, we wanted to let him know that, you know, we just wasn't skipping out on it. You know, there have been times where he would be in a meeting in Barbados, and I didn't know he was looking for me because he was going to be leaving like on a Wednesday, and he needed me to perform some services for him that Wednesday. And he finally got a hold of me. We were at a restaurant in Barbados, and he says, Calhoun. I said, yes, sir. He said, where are you? Are you in Barbados? I said, yes, sir. He said, I've been looking for you because I needed for you to do something for me on Wednesday. He said, but you already where I'm headed. He said, don't worry about it. I can get somebody else to do it. He said, you're in a good spot. You know, it's good, you know, when your man of God knows your heart and recognize you're endeavoring to follow him and his agenda, you know, but it's all about being loyal. Let me move on. Let's see. I'll make sure I'm covering everything. A person with an independent spirit obeys only certain instructions, only the one they think are really important to them. A person with an independent spirit only obeys certain instructions. And it's not that they're going to not obey all instructions, but they only obey the ones they think they need to. You know, and when instructions are coming from the head, everybody needs to add up and do their part. Mm-hmm. Amen. All right. Let me make sure I'm not missing anything. And I just stated this. Apostle will call all members to attend a special meeting, but a person with an independent spirit decides to attend only those meetings he feels are important to him. Are they just too busy to attend? They don't even let anybody know that they can't make it. If I can't make it, I'm going to let somebody in leadership know that I can't make it. Amen. And I kind of shared that. You know, another example, you know, you're asked by your pastor to attend both Sunday and Wednesday services so he can deposit in you what he needs to deposit. But you decide only to come on Sundays. That's a person with an independent spirit, you know, and especially if you have no real reason not to attend on Wednesdays, you know. An example to that is because the country of Ghana is independent of the U.S., whenever there is an American holiday, it is not, it doesn't affect the people of Ghana. Ghana and America are two separate countries in the same world, but independent of each other. When Ghana declares a holiday, America takes no notice of it because it is independent, the independence of Ghana. And the author used this illustration just to show that you know what independence is, as opposed to you being dependent or loyal to the mission of your country. You know, give you an example. We celebrate Independence Day. Most every business, unless there's a legitimate reason why that business has to be, you know, working on Independence Day, everybody celebrates Independence Day in the United States. It's our day that we declared independence. You know, so it's a national holiday. You know, so every, you know, just like we all celebrate Independence Day, we need to also celebrate, honor, and respect instructions that can affect our lives from our man of God. And my time is drifting by real fast. When you begin to exhibit the spirit of independence within an organization, let it be known that you are slowly becoming disloyal to the organization, which, if not checked or corrected, will lead to dishonor. Okay, here's something else. If you belong to an organization, you are not independent of that organization. Therefore, you cannot just do what you think is right, what you want to do. You must follow the protocol of the organization. Amen. Loyal members will comply with the directives that come from the head. Loyal members will comply with the directives that comes from the head. And that's so very important that we understand that. If you feel you want to be independent, then you should resign from your position and leave, because an independent spirit will lead to disloyalty and eventually lead to dishonor. Were they disloyal people in the Bible? Yes, they were. And I may not have time to get into all of these. I only have a few minutes left. But Jobab, J-O-A-B, who was David's leader, and he was a head man in David's organization when King David was ruled over the children of Israel. He was like a prime minister under David, David's right-hand man. He was so powerful. But yet Jobab had an independent spirit. When King David, in one instance back in 1 Samuel 3:20, who was the head of the government, decided to make peace with one of his generals or one of his men by the name of Abner, after years of conflict, the king called a celebration or a peace agreement with Abner and his men and declared a feast. So Abner came to David, and David made him a feast for him and his men. This is 2 Samuel 3:20-21. And I'm reading from the Message Bible. It says, when Abner and the 20 men who were with him met with David, David laid out a feast for them. Abner then said, I'm ready to let me go now to rally everybody in Israel for my master, which was David, the king. They'll make a treaty with you, authorizing you to rule them however you see fit. Abner was sent off with David's blessing. But now here comes Jobab, J-O-A-B. I might not be pronouncing it right. This is going all the way down to verse 27, 2 Samuel 20-27. But when Jobab heard that this man had been entertained in the palace, he was furious. He chased him, caught up with him, and requested to speak with him privately, the spectators to have a word with Abner privately. And Jobab tricked him and killed him. And he, Jobab, sent messengers after Abner, which brought him again, took him, and smote him. That's 2 Samuel 3:26-27. When King David opted for peace with Abner, his right-hand man, Jobab, decided to do otherwise. Although he was supposed to submit to the wishes of the king, he went ahead with his own plan, his own agenda. People like that can be, as you can see, dangerous. Jobab had to He could have plunged an entire nation into a war because of his independent actions. So it's so very important not to be independent. And there was also others, and I'm going to go into more next week, because not only was Jobab with an independent spirit, David's son Absalom also had an independent spirit. So we'll talk about that next week and go down more stages of what happens when a person becomes disloyal, and which slowly will eventually lead to dishonor. And with that stated, we'll conclude for the day. Be blessed, and I'll see you next week. Amen.